The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Darko Malfoy says, Jeff got me enthusiastic about Jurassic Park again, the 1993 one, the only good one. The others don't even count. Absolutely, it's the only one that grabs some philosophical aspect to it. They try to reproduce it in the most recent one, but they fail. Jurassic Park 1 is the only one that has put forward the philosophical problem of science. What happens when science inevitably will come to destroy you? And I would say I push it even further with the revolutionary phenotype. Because with the revolutionary phenotype, I say this is how science will destroy us. So it's a full description. It's not a theory of the kind, oh, well, maybe it will do this or maybe it will do that. No, it will do one thing, and it's through this one thing that we will destroy ourselves. Greatest Whitest Northerner says, state aids the destruction of the West through tricking the youth into thinking polygamy is the only way forward. Oh yeah, it's a total abdication. And by the way, I had predicted this. 2 years ago, people were asking me, as Fresh and Fit was rising, people were telling me, hey, JF, what do you think? You know, red pill. What do you think about Fresh and Fit? And I had said, I have one problem with Fresh and Fit. It's that they won't be able to help the fact that they fundamentally view the world through a lens that polygamy is okay. And that is a big problem for even the self-consistent existence of the red pill. Because, and this boils down to a principle of Western civilization. Western civilization, how did it rise? How did it become the most productive thing civilization has ever done? How did it create the wealth that we benefit from under capitalism? Western civilization creates winnable games. When games are winnable, and they are winnable by honor, by talent, by actual meritocracy of some sort, you're headed toward a good direction in society. And monogamy makes the game of dating winnable. Winnable for most. Therefore, when you enter the monogamous regime, you will have one wife. You will produce much more babies with her than you would have if you had six wives. So it's like, even from an evolutionary standpoint, it's absolutely ridiculous to go for polygamy. Because polygamy does not increase the babies per woman. Polygamy, if anything, reduces the number of babies per woman, because they have the... And people don't understand this because they think sex without condom means a baby. No. Sex without condom sometimes can take a year or two if you inseminate a single woman. Now, imagine you're inseminating four of them and your attention is divided and your wealth is divided. And once you're inseminating one, you can't quite inseminate the other at the same time. Sperm is not infinite, and certainly the usable window of sperm and sperm quantities are limited, to the extent that polygamous marriage means literally four women not optimally used for one man, and then three men on the streets. willing to do violence, or if they're not, they're stupid, because violence truly is their only shot at reproduction. So this is the non-winnable game of polygamy. And from a Red Pill's perspective, it doesn't even make sense. So you're going to be counseling men how to up their status, how to better catch these women, how to pick up women. But you're going to do so while pushing for a societal norm that inevitably makes women 80% rarer, which is polygamy. Polygamy of any kind. Polygamy in the Utah style, Mormon style, with one man with literally four wives and four houses on the same street. Or polygamy of the serial kind, where women just do the cuck carousel and don't produce any babies during that time for a period of fertility of about 15 years. And then they decide that suddenly it's urgent, they need a baby. If you start with just accepting polygamy as your basis for your red pill view of the world, you've already thrown 80% of the relationships out, because you've taken the rarity of woman and you've multiplied it by 4x, 5x. So it doesn't make sense anymore to be telling these guys who subscribe to your podcast, hey, I'm going to show you the attitude. You know, it's all about the attitude. It's all about drop this sentence and dress like this and like that. None of this matters anymore. Because no matter the little gains that you could do from dressing correctly or having the right attitude or having a little more money, those gains are not going to offset your 5x rarity that you've just induced by accepting polygamy. So if our societies truly head toward the direction of polygamy, the result down the line is not that you need a little trick to be confident talking to women and you're going to get a woman. You need explosive material, basically, if we go polygamy. Because if we go polygamy, then there are four males looking at whichever male of their social category they could get at. And if they succeed at killing this male before he becomes successful with four wives, they've just liberated four or five wives for themselves. That is how polygamy leads to violence in society. It's because of the dead end for men that you've created for each man that will reproduce. These dead ends, they don't just go away and accept the loss. They don't just take the L, as people were saying on the internet recently. They become soldiers. And if you're lucky, they become soldiers for an organized faction that benefits your side. But you're probably not lucky, and things probably go chaotic. And these men eventually become revolutionaries and criminals, because that's all they can do. Because they don't have a winnable game. Anyways, talking about Jurassic Park, yesterday I watched the extended version of Tenet. I don't know if they named it extended per se, but definitely there are sentences I've detected in there that were not present in the original theater version. And they clarify a lot. So by adding these small sentences here and there, we end up understanding a lot that was not directly concludable from the theater version. For instance, the beginning scene truly is a case of a fake suicide pill. I was wondering if it was a case of a time loop, maybe, or some virtual environment. But no, when he took the suicide pills are fake for the purpose of some tests. So I was happy, because as a big fan of Tenet, I've been very disappointed by the lack of clarity, and there was so much we had to figure out and we had to maintain various hypotheses. The extended version on DVD or whatever streaming platform it currently is truly answers a lot. And there's much more focus around the fact that the company of Andrei Sater is called Rotas. I don't know if it was even mentioned in the theater version, but they repeat it a couple of times in the extended version. So, okay, Rotas is part of the Palindromic Square, Opera, Rotas, Arepo, blah, blah, blah. So that is cleared, and I'm happy. I'm happy that I have less weight on my shoulders. I'm super happy, by the way, that last week I published the math of the Goldbeck conjecture. Because let me tell you, living with this on the mind is not easy. Because you're like, I'm the only one alive who has this equation. And at the same time, I'd like to do things productive in my life. And I acknowledge that I'm too old anyways to push the Goldbeck conjecture to its conclusion. But carrying it inside of your head is a big mental weight. Because every time I try to think about something productive, like, hey, let's do some research on some other thing, it always comes back and you're like, oh, you know, I do still carry this secret knowledge about the Goldbeck conjecture. I should try to at least find a solution. And you end up in a loop where you don't find the solution, but you can only think about this. But since last Monday, when I published my current progress, I feel so relieved, because now my brain can say, all right, now you can think about future projects. You can think about everyday life. I can focus much more since I kind of got the weight off my shoulders. So we had a question to me that was sent maybe a week ago. And every time I was promising to the guy, I'm going to talk about it. But I always forgot. So it's a question about Alberta independence. I've been talking about Alberta independence before. I'm super enthusiastic about it, but at the same time, the reality is people are cucked. Political movements are very hard to push forward. And most of the time, there's just more cucked people in fear, people dependent on the government than you would think. Even in Alberta. So, separatist projects, they almost never work. He was asking me, can you talk about your stance on Alberta separatism, which looks like it's growing with the new Republican Party and a future referendum talk? Do you think Alberta referendum would succeed? And would you be worried about the Republican Party of Alberta's stance on another referendum on joining the U.S.? Well, first, yes, I have noticed that there was more talk about Alberta separatism. So that's good, and that's to be celebrated. Now, is that feasible? Very hard. It's going to be very hard, because just starting with 30-40% maybe of the people are sympathetic to the idea. It's always the same. It was the same in Quebec. Then you launch a campaign, and then the whole federal government comes in and just throws money to keep you in the federation. So they throw money, they start psyops and everything. They start pushing migrants toward your place, so that they can vote no. Feasibility is a big question for any separatist movement, and I am not sure that it's feasible. But I would still pursue something that is not totally feasible, simply out of principle sometimes, out of expressing what we prefer for Alberta. Now, your question about... So do I think it could succeed? Sure, within the plausible, but it's hard. It's tough. You need a massive will of the people, and even there, you're going to be countered by forces you can't even realize. And would you be worried about the Republican Party of Alberta stance on another referendum? Because the Republican Party of Alberta is very much pro-American, and to them, they say, well, we would have a sovereign Alberta, for the purpose of perhaps joining the US. It would be a two-step process in which first, Alberta gains its sovereignty, and second, it solicits status as a US state. Let me tell you, I'm not super worried about this because I don't think it would be bad if we joined the US. I think that Alberta sovereignty, of course, will be at a maximum if we do have a referendum that's separate from Canada. And then Alberta will be a very strong location with oil, with capacity for export that will make it a very rich place. And without the federal transfer and this kind of imposition that happens through the federal government just taking money out of Alberta and giving it on social welfare to everyone else, if Alberta was to be independent, that would be a very good thing. If it was to then join the US, I don't think it would be bad. I think there are goods and there are bads in joining the US. First, in joining the US, we join a country that is so in terms of demographic stability. And you have the problem that the US is a vast empire with states that have totally lost control of their demographics. So, you know, I foresee, like, personally, Alberta joining the US would be a very good thing short-term, rights-wise, money-wise, economy-wise. Because as a U.S. state, we would be able to profit from our gas industry and all. So that would be a very good thing short term. Now, I think on the scale of 100 years, I am worried. Because on the scale of 100 years, I have to think that the entirety of Georgia is black. Louisiana, black regions. I have to think that there's some sort of division of the southern U.S. portion between the blacks in the east, the Hispanics on the west, and that California, of course, is completely lost, but potentially up to North Dakota, basically, you would have a full invasion of Hispanics and blacks, and then doesn't look so good to be a U.S. state, you know? From the perspective of a newly free Alberta, it sounds good to have the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, boom. And then the state status that gives you freedom over your economy and your gas dealings. But had the demographic question, and it becomes very easy for Hispanics to invade eventually Alberta. So I think that it would be something to put in the balance, pros and cons. But I think ultimately, if you want to have a white positive view of America's future, in which whites do succeed at somehow, you know, beating the demographic race, having lots of babies, perhaps reconcentrating in the states of the North, the Midwest, the Northwest, then it looks interesting. And I should note on the demographics question, an independent Alberta would have a lot of power to control its immigration. But Alberta in its current state is not in a position to mock the US either. You know, there is a lot of Indians in Alberta. They concentrate around these big centers. They work in the trucking industry. They dominate neighborhoods. It's not like Alberta is in a perfect position either now. So there are pros and cons in keeping our own sovereignty or joining the US. And all of this needs to be weighted in determining. But in general, I'm not scared because ultimately, if the Albertans have done the right decision of getting their sovereignty, I wouldn't be scared that they are also capable of doing the right decision and deciding, is it in our advantage at this point to join the US or not join the US? Greatest, whitest northerner says my super chats are the direct result of Albertan prosperity. Well, yeah, you know, everyone in Canada knows about the years of Great Alberta Drag, where Alberta was so economically successful that people were literally moving out of state to get into Alberta to become a McDo cashier.
This demographic shift is precisely why we need to act now.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much for the tip, Greatest Whitest. I'm sure that this tip is dripping in oil, in Alberta oil. But yeah, so back about 10 to 15 years ago, there were even Quebecois songs about how I lost my sister because she went to fuck an Albertan guy who works in oil. Comment ça va, ma petite sœur? Dis-moi que tu vas pas me ramener un beau frère de l'Alberta, ça m'aurait un peu ébranlé. The guy was singing, please don't tell me you're coming back from Alberta with a Alberta husband. That was a Quebecois song playing on the radio every day. So there was this moment 10 to 15 years ago where Alberta was draining people, draining talents with a very successful market, so much so that you were getting a minimal salary of what, $14 at some point. Basically you were entering at McDonald's, getting a job, and you were paid twice as much as you would in another province. It's not like that anymore. Alberta is still very successful, but it's not to the point of drainage. And I believe that Alberta was basically whacked by the federal government, kind of by imposing taxes here and there on the oil exports. Basically, Alberta's success has been contained against its own good. So it's really too bad because when you have Danielle Smith, you know, respect to her for keeping an Alberta conservative in a country that has veered totally not conservative. But still, you wish she was harder on this. You wish she was tooth and nail defending the economic interest of Alberta. And right now, that would have to be by pushing for sovereignty. Even if in your heart you don't believe that it's for final sovereignty in the end, at least as a tool of negotiation, we should all agree that Quebec has negotiated its particular place in the Canadian Federation by being crybabies. So Albertans should learn from this, be more like crybabies, be more like, no, it's not acceptable, the current setup. Wiggy to Wiggy says, I worked in the oil patch, and out of the 12 men, only 2 were originally Alberta, 3 Ontario, 4 Quebec, and 2 New Brunswick. Absolutely. Absolutely. White House thinks that madman Netanyahu is out of control. Well, when they give these media pieces without public statements, it's like, oh, people are saying that BB is acting like a madman. Trump would have said that. But when do we get public? When do we get public confirmation of this? That's what I'd like to see. What do we have? Someone was sending me this. So a person, a black woman named Lastasia, has ordered McChicken burgers in Uber Eats, but then she canceled the order as the burgers were already arriving.
So I'm doing Uber Eats and Lastasia decided to say she ain't get her food. Lastasia? You told Uber you didn't get your food? That's your drink right there. You must want to be internet famous today, huh, baby?
I'm at work, please.
I don't care. I'm at work. I have 2 kids. I make $2 a trip. $2.
You know, it's... If you make $2 a trip, you should stop this. This is not a job. You are getting exploited. This is slavery.
And you gonna lie? And say I didn't bring your food when you...
I guess they expect the tips. That's why they do it. They hope that the tips is gonna offset this $2. But it's like... Even with the tips... you're gonna get $5. You're gonna have used your car. You're gonna have waited at the fast food. You're gonna get running with the order. These systems, the Uber taxis and Uber Eats and DoorDash, whatever these things are, they're just not efficient. They are really bottom of the line lemon pressing of human beings.
Donald's cup right there.
Now, anyways, the guy was asking me, Jeff, why is it that when they have a name that is stereotypically black, like very exaggeratingly, caricaturally, when their name is like a caricature of blackness, why is it that they act more black? And why is it that they get in more trouble and we end up hearing about it on social media? And my answer to this, I think you could have many hypotheses. First, the people who get these really dirty names like Lastasia or these names, you can see that they probably come from families that had no sense of class. They probably come from families that were less intelligent. And so you have two effects here. They probably have worse parents, and they probably also have worse genes. So I think there could be an effect in the link between the name and the degree of depravity. There could be a causal effect there. There could be another causal effect, I believe, which could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Maybe when you name your child Lastasia, maybe it puts her in... Maybe the teacher at the public school cares less about Lastasia and laughs in her head every time she has to teach something to Lastasia. And perhaps at the end, Lastasia knows much less because of her name. And so you could have these two causal routes, I believe, that could explain why we see so much of these names, these weird names. They get in trouble on social media. Now, it's hard to evaluate. Is it statistically significant that they get in trouble? Or is it just that we pay more attention to the stories when they have these names? I'm not sure. We would have to do massive amounts of research. It's not worth it. But let's talk about polygamy and winnable games. If your society isn't built on winnable games, it's not improving. Because your society is crystallized. Whoever is successful is who amasses power and crushes others. And that's not how a society improves. Societies of Western civilization were on the track of constant growth and improvement because the domains of business and marriage had been mastered down to a winnable game. Winnable for most people, with a fair outcome. A fair outcome that was tied to meritocracy. Because if you're a 4 out of 10 female, you should have your 4 out of 10 husband. And you should make babies with him. And you'll pay the price of being 4 out of 10, but he's also paying the price of being 4 out of 10 himself. What is not conducive to most people improving their state is when you give all of the 4 out of 10s female to a 9 of 10 male, but he gets 4 or 5 of them, and then the 3 out of 10 females, they can pick their 8 out of 10 males. They get, the male will get 3, 4, or 5 of them. And then you end up with celibacy in the range 1 to 7 out of 10 males. That is not winnable for most people. It's a situation that creates a lot of losers, and these losers are not, they're not just like mosquitoes that will go away if you spray them. They stay around and they shit onto your society because they're right to do so. They are justifiably shitting on your society and causing chaos and disorder. Now, this what I just described is exactly how the black dating scene works. Just filter the top, those that succeed at becoming gangsters and super rich criminals and whatever, or rappers, and then let the rest just plague your society with increased crime rate, increased rape, increased attacks, everything. Now, that's a society that is headed toward the fall. If you do that, whether you're white or black, if you install that system, it's a system that is basically females farming violent males into existence. And then the race becomes not can you produce something with your hand that's valuable that you can sell. Then the race becomes can you just out-dumb the other retard that happens to have been crowned the chief local gangster. And it's a race toward the dumb. It's a race that leads exactly to people like Andrew Tate, like people were talking about the features of Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate is basically this overpowered retard. With all respect to him, by the way, I would talk to the man. I would say it to his face. No offense, and it's like... I don't want to. I'm not saying this to dump on the guy or whatever. I have some respect for the kind of scam that he runs, but it's a scam. His life is a scam. His entire arguments are a scam. He is surfing on the success of others. He is not a thinker, and he is someone who just dumbly pursues, out barking others. Which is a very black thing to do. Now he's trying to outbark Matt Walsh on the question of polygamy, but he's beside the point. So it all starts with an original tweet by Andrew Tate, where he says, "Monogamy is not natural for men. Statistically, only 20 to 30% of men have ever reproduced, while 80 to 90% of women have reproduced." Now, that is roughly true. But true with a little caveat. This is for the last 7 million years. Yes, most of that time was spent in that evolutionary regime. But it's not true of the last 600 years. In the last 600 years, monogamous marriage, Christian-approved monogamous marriage, has been the norm of Western civilization. And as it turns out, during those years, we also became one of the greatest civilizations to have ever existed. One might make a connection between these two facts, because, okay... Andrew Tate talks to us about the state of nature, but hey, now that we know that we diverged away from that natural state and into something better, let us recognize that this is no more the standard. It's the standard outside of Western civilization, but not in the successful civilization that we've known of. Women were always sharing kings and discarding the serfs. This is the same today. All capable men have multiple women. Well, okay, statement of fact, but is that desirable? Because it's not with that dating system that we built a stable civilization. Betas settle with one and cope. That's what they want to do. when in reality they are forced due to lack of options, societal pressure, and the woman threatening to leave them. Well, no matter what is the psychological source of monogamy, you have to make a case that it's an undesirable system first if you want to blame it on someone. They are enraged that better men's woman tolerate something their girl want and see it's about the differences in girls. Well, no. When it's actually the differences in men, women break rules for winners and make rules for losers. If your woman leaves you for having another girl, she simply thinks you're a bitch. Well, no, she may have a principled belief in monogamous marriage. That same woman happily shares a real man. She did before she met you. Then you wifed her up, lol. The one husband, one wife thing lie is a satanic control, purposed mechanism, a lie spread as a disease across Western culture. No, it is not. It is what has maintained the society as you know it, that's desirable, that people like you want to move in. That society has been built on monogamous marriage, Christian monogamous marriage. After pairing weak men with wives, wives they can't leave or they're destroyed in court, they psy-up the woman with media to control and subjugate the men. Before you know it, they're walking around IKEA on a Sunday choosing curtains instead of taking their countries back from invaders. They're engaging in swinging for their wives' satisfaction. At this point, this is not even real. There's no evidence that someone who believes in monogamy must believe in swinging, wife swinging. To the contrary. Wife swinging is a deriving away from monogamy. It's the first act of polygamy, literally approved by the husband. So that is absolutely delusional, misinformed, and this is why these guys, these black people, Fresh and Fit, Andrew Tate, they can never be good red pillars for Western civilization. Oh, they can bark and they can attract attention all they want. They will bark within their black communities and black people are just going to listen to them. But they cannot fix civilization because down the line, they don't consider there has to be a fair system. See, the way he talks about divorce, it's like, oh, it's your fault. You got divorced rape. Ha ha ha. So you're a weak man, you got divorced rape, and instead of fighting for your country, you're getting divorced raped by your ex-wife. That is exactly the kind of mentality that I have a bigger club. Oh, boom, you're dead. Oh, no, I just made you more dumb with my club until someone with a bigger club comes in my back and makes me even more dumb than I currently am. This is the infinite circle of the stupidity drain of the African civilization. It's like, if you laugh at another man for receiving a club by saying, oh, look, you didn't have a big enough club. This guy had a bigger club than you and he hit you. Ha ha! One day you're gonna get hit by a club and you end up with the whole system of dominance, hierarchical dominance, where the fault is always on the alpha for not having withstood the attack of the subordinates. So what do you have? You have the constant, the masculine ideal is pushed into the unreal, the expectation that you should be able to receive club hits by everyone, even unfair, even in the back, even 50 against you. Or you weren't enough of an alpha to sustain it, and therefore you lose your status. And then what's the next? The next alpha, the problem is he hasn't been selected through meritocracy. He hasn't been selected through a winnable game. He's just the next alpha. He's literally the next guy who you're most afraid of. And now he gets clubbed. He gets clubbed until he can't take it. So this kind of mentality doesn't build civilization. It literally leads to huts and camel trading of spices and carpets. And this is all you're going to get down the road. If you populate civilization, even white civilization, with Andrew Tate and with fresh and fit guys, down the line, down 1,000 years, what's left of it? It's a bunch of people laughing at each other because they're getting clubbed and losing IQ points in the process, and therefore being absolutely incapable. We're not even touching mathematics or grand arts of any kind. We're down to carpet selling and clubbing, which is what these societies do. So I understand the point of Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh intervenes because Myron Gaines was talking about the Andrew Tate tweet brag here. And by the way, you look at this guy who's considered himself an item of success. Look at this. I have my wives around me. I have 2 children. Bro, you have less children. You're a polygamous man. You have less children than what a successful monogamous marriage would lead to. You have a couple of prostitutes you found in some bars that got charmed by your degree of wealth. Okay, bravo. You're just occupying 4 pussies for what? Do you have 3 babies? 4 babies? Monogamous men like Matt Walsh, like me, have more babies than you. We have more children than you, and we don't even brag about it. There you are bragging about it in picture. Myron Gaines says, 100% facts. Most men are monogamous out of necessity, not choice, to secure a partner due to their limited value. If you choose monogamy, own it, but don't pretend it's a moral stance when it's really about maintaining sexual access to a woman who would leave you if you pursued polygamy. That is not the case. I had plenty of women lined up in my life, and I have always treated them one by one monogamously because I believe it in principle, and I understand what happens with society when you violate this. And so you had Matt Walsh respond to this whole thing. Matt Walsh said, and I fully agree with Matt Walsh here. Polygamy is savage and primitive and has always been widely rejected in civilized Western society. People on both the right and the left are trying to drag the West into barbarism these days. We must reject it. Absolutely correct. And he's properly identifying that there is a subversive element of the so-called right. Myron Gaines, Andrew Tate, are they even right-wing first? Are they carrying anything that would be relevant to the maintenance of Western civilization? Do they come from it, ultimately? They don't. So they wouldn't understand. And Andrew Tate answered to Matt Walsh very unfairly. Because Matt Walsh has 6 children. So Matt Walsh has done with a single woman what Andrew Tate doesn't appear to have been capable of doing with 100. That tells you something already from an evolutionary standpoint. But Andrew Tate didn't come out with a very good argument. He says, Matt doesn't know what he's talking about. He was a guy who found a girl and married her. He knows nothing about modern woman. Nothing about modern dating dynamics. He knows nothing about women because we've slept with more than he's ever spoken to in his life. Yeah, but that doesn't matter to his point. Matt Walsh is not saying, I'm the alpha bragger. I can get hundreds of women. Follow my tricks if you want to catch a woman in a bar. That's not what Matt Walsh is saying. Matt Walsh is making a point about the consequences for society. You either drag the West in barbarism or you don't. And a lot of it relies down the line on your willingness to sustain monogamy or promote polygamy. You can't imagine top-tier male positioning. Well, I don't think you've even achieved that. I think you are equating Matt Walsh in evolutionary success. You have at most 6 babies, and I don't know that you have 6. So you have these 2 girls on the picture. Some people are saying maybe you have a couple of boys, 1 or 2. And then maybe you have some lost childs here and there, 1 or 2. At best, you're equating Matt Walsh. And you're doing so with a waste of resource that should alarm you. Like the fact that you needed that many women, it alarms me. When I see all these women that have left me after making 1 or 2 babies, it alarms me that there's such a waste of viable women. It should alarm you. And it's because I wouldn't blame you if you didn't make the choice, but since you're out there promoting polygamy, then it's more than the fact that these women didn't give you any choice. It's that you actually consciously pursues this waste. This waste which is responsible for the fall of societies. He's not wrong because he's evil. He's simply wrong because he has no idea what he's even discussing. This isn't an insult. I'm not trying to insult Matt at all, but he thinks his extremely limited knowledge of woman, one girl, somehow applies to the world. Well, no. This is what happens when you are in the drain of African stupidity. You try to elevate yourself out of it, you get dragged back into it. So see how Andrew Tate is trying to reduce this conversation to, oh, you're just not popular with girls. you have just one girl that's interested in you. This is alpha bragging of the kind that you have in polygamous regimes. Because it's all about being the alpha. It's all about having the bigger club. Well, I have a bigger club. There's more women who want me. And it's never about the actual point because, anyways, the brains are extremely limited. The brains can't even develop above the 80 IQ line in the drain of African stupidity. So, because once you start being surrounded by these types, there's not even a gain in getting to 90. There's not even a gain in getting to 95. In most decent societies, at least getting closer to 1995 gets you somewhere. But when you're surrounded by this drain of stupidity that pulls everyone down, it's all about whether you have a bigger club. It's all about how many women would be interested in you. Then you fall for hut living and carpet trading. Blimpy Supervisor says, if you made it illegal to own a pet dog, the birth rate would go up. Certainly there is an amount of baiting, of empathic baiting by dogs. Ultimately, women are deploying toward dogs their loving behaviors that they were naturally programmed to deploy toward babies and husbands. So definitely there is a culling that must come. The dogs must be eliminated at some point. It's an evolutionary necessity. Black woman who left the US for Russia to escape racism is beaten by new neighbors. She was looking for racial acceptance, but she went to the wrong place. Russia. The Fed pours jet fuel on the inequality gap. The Fed's actions of expansionism in the last decade, and in fact in the last 6-7 decades, have led only to rich people getting richer. I can't have a zoom on the image, apparently, but that is not surprising. Because when you play with the value of money, the poor people at the bottom of society, they don't have a mechanism to inflate the rich people, they are all paid in stocks and they're already set up to inflate. So they benefit from it, you don't. Ellen DeGeneres announces that she permanently left the United States for the United Kingdom because of President Trump. Everything here is just better. It is said that she has moved to a 97% white neighborhood in the UK. Wow. She found a place of the UK where there are still mostly English whites. Well, I'm happy for Ellen DeGeneres, you know. But it illustrates why this leftist elite, they will mess with your society and then they will leave it on some excuse, you know. So, I mean, here's someone who has spammed liberalism and gender and sexual liberalism for decades, literally, into America. It's totally messed with America. And the moment, we're not even at a point where we're going back, where we're back, where we're making America great again, okay? We're just a point where it stabilizes and there's kind of a backlash. They're gone. So effectively what they do is they mess society and then because they have no skin in the game, they just go elsewhere. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has officially given criminal referrals to the DOJ for the Russiagate hoax. Next up is the DOJ opening a criminal investigation. TikTok. I'm not super enthusiastic about the Russiagate hoax because, okay, yeah, do put these agents in jail. They were basically people of the system that were using the system for political persecution. But at the same time, this is a very small story. It was a specific attack against Trump. I would like the entire system to be revamped in a systemic fashion rather than just, oh, those people who targeted Trump, because it probably boils down to 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 corrupt agents. But the system and the idea that these powers exist and that these forces exist in America, that will still be true even if you put these 10 people in jail. That needs to be fixed. A woman killed her husband with a samurai sword, stabbing and slicing him more than 50 times. But now we learn that the woman is actually a man. Well, that makes sense. So it's a trans woman who was with a man husband, stabbed and sliced him 50 times with a samurai sword. You know, sometimes the transitions are incomplete. Even if you wouldn't recognize her as trans with her beautiful silky blonde hair and her natural facial features. But the slicing with a samurai sword, that is a giveaway. That's where she does not pass. She has, she still has the male manipulation of the sword ingrained in her Y chromosome. It is Shark Week. I'm not a big fan of sharks in general. 8 p.m. Great White Sex Battle. 9 p.m. Jaws versus Mega Croc. 10 p.m. in the eye of the storm, shark storm. Not a big fan of the shark movies. Not a big fan of the shark documentaries. I'm not fascinated about sharks. Oh yeah, sorry, Darko Malfoy. I forgot your question. I saw it on Entropy and then I forgot to read it. Draco Malfoy says, how is your video game coming along? Well, I've not, thank you for the question. I've not worked on it very much. So last time I shown some update, it's pretty much where it is. The dynamics actually of attacks of towers are implemented, but that's pretty much what I showed last time that you saw it on my Twitter. It's still pretty much there. I spend so much time as a dad taking care of my responsibilities and then preparing the show. Right now it's taking my whole days. So I don't know if this game will ever make it to releasable, but it's still a passion that I pursue because it's fun. It's fun. When I have time to sit and do some coding, let me tell you, it's fun. But these days when I do have time for coding, I do some contract work. So I'm working on a React website with devices like pop-up widgets and that kind of stuff. So I'm currently doing a lot of animated CSS. Let me tell you, it's quite evolved. Animated CSS, I didn't know about it when I first learned about CSS, HTML. But these days it's so advanced, you can literally make a game in the browser out of animated CSS. You can make objects dance, you can make objects react to clicks and actions of the user. It's becoming pretty impressive. New Guy Prime says, what is a React website? Well, React is a platform that is standard these days. People will tell you that React is kind of passé as a framework, but they do React plus Vue, React plus Vite. So there's all these JavaScript branches that I've developed. React is one of them. It's kind of the base branch of the idea of a JavaScript that is refreshable, that is extremely reactive to user input. And it's pretty much a standard to make a website. You do it in Node these days, and you do it with some flavor of React. Or some derivative that's kind of like React. What React does is nothing super special when you consider React in relation to what JavaScript is. So JavaScript is the main framework. What React does is React has a kind of philosophy around states, where your page has states. And these states will be in a dictionary, and React will know if this state changed. And the whole idea is to keep a parallel programming structure to your visual structure. So you have the visual structure that is your kind of HTML-like return document. That is what the user sees. And then you have the whole programming aspect that is implemented in functions. And the whole idea of React is simply how do I update the document that the user sees based on backend programming events. And React has a certain approach to it. It's the approach of re-rendering on demand. It's the approach of keeping hooks and callbacks that are dependent. So for example, if I show you a MP3 player and you're listening to an audio, and then you do some action in the document that will change the audio file. Well, React handles this idea that, okay, the audio file has changed no matter how it did. So what do I do now to show to the user? Well, I have to refresh the widget, change the source. I have to hit play so that the user doesn't experience a stop of the playing, and I have to switch to that new song. That is what React manages, and it could have went another way. React is not, there's no, React is the alpha of coding websites, but it kind of won this against alternatives that could have very well made it too, but somehow everyone converged toward this. So that's my little story of React. But in general, I just love user reactivity. I love the current state of things because I was a old school PHP, HTML database programmer. and to see where it has evolved and how easy it has become. We're in higher and higher level languages, because even React, if you will, is a framework built upon JavaScript. JavaScript being itself a language. And sometimes people even work in supra layers of React, where people will have an entire React template, and you can code in React template, in that React template way of managing things rather than directly in React. Evershop being for one example of an entire template of a website for e-commerce, but completely customizable, but built ultimately as a supra layer of React. Mr. Wisco says React is component based, which is very nice, as you can basically plug and play once you code it. Yes, absolutely. So a well-organized React code will have basically files for every little thing. So if you have a pop-up menu, it's going to be a file in and of itself, and you're going to be invoking that pop-up programmatically. Yes, that is how that is how it works. That is it for tonight. Roof Sternwood says maybe some kind of downscale, for instance, to 2D with simpler physics while returning core dynamics would reduce the dev load. Yeah, but I'm never downscaling my project of the 3D game because I hate this kind of thing. I'm a fucking radical. I'd rather die in the sinking Titanic rather than survive with the shame of having accomplished something lesser. So I'm not excited at all about the idea of transforming my game to 2D so that it's easier to code. I really don't like this kind of thinking. You'll never get me to do this. I'm always a megalomaniac who pursues absolutely off-the-chart impossible stuff. And I don't care if I die realizing zero. That's how insane I am. I am a self-destructive megalomaniac. But that's how I live. And I'll always do that because sometimes you have a long shot and it works. And then people are like, why didn't anyone else think about the revolutionary phenotype? Well, it's because you need to be kind of like that.